Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes.
Hello and welcome to Fred Film Radio. I'm Amani Mohammed reporting from the 67th Cannes International Film Festival. I'm joined by Barry Ward and Simone Kirby, the actors in Ken Loach's movie Jimmy's Hall, which is in the main competition here at the festival. First off, I just wanted to ask you, were you familiar with this part of Irish history? Was Jimmy a figure that you grew up knowing about?
He was totally forgotten about, and kind of systematically that information was oppressed. When Paul was researching the story for writing the script, he found there were lots of missing documents, official documentation, because he was deported illegally, so the government don't want people knowing about that, so they kind of conveniently lost all documents. People in that area know about him, but the rest of the country, he's almost entirely unknown, right?
Yeah, I had never heard of him either. No, it was a complete new story to me. I didn't even know a man had been deported from Ireland. I'd never heard that. It's not in our history book.
So with that in mind, what kind of research did you have to do for the role?
I read extensively, and then I went to Leitrim and stayed there for a while, and I farmed, and I was trying to use old tools as much as possible, because obviously agricultural technology has moved on since then. So it was quite hard.
Did you milk a cow at all?
Did I do what?
Did you milk a cow?
I didn't touch a cow's tits. It wasn't me.
How far does one go for a role?
Yeah. No, I didn't milk a cow. I would love to milk a cow. Anyone who has a cow that wants milking, I will milk your cow for you.
You heard it here first in Cannes. I'm curious, did you have to audition for Ken Loach to secure the role?
Yeah, he
auditions people. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, Ken just wanted to cast the net quite wide, meet people who aren't actors. So I met him on 5 separate occasions. You were 4, you missed
4,
one, didn't
yeah.
you? You were out of the country.
Yeah.
Still got in, though.
I know. I was doing a play in Derry, and I had to come down to Dublin to meet him. But initially, it was like a 10-minute meet and greet.
Just a chat.
Just a chat, in which I think he was sussing out our working class credentials.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was a lot of quite comprehensive and thorough improvisation sessions, you know, in groups with other actors. So I think we had auditioned together.
The very last day,
yeah.
Yeah.
As actors, obviously, when you play a real character, somebody that exists, do you feel personally, do you take on that responsibility to portray that character? Because albeit, yes, it's a movie and there is some creative license there, you're still portraying someone. I think in your case, Barry, in your case, Simone, Una was a completely fictional character, which is what Paul Laverty, the writer, was telling us about.
I think ordinarily playing a real-life character would come with a lot of pressure and responsibility in order to get that right and to do it some justice and be as accurate as possible, you know, and that is the challenge. But for when it came to Jimmy Grantham, because so little literature or documents existed on the guy, it was pretty much a carte blanche to do what you want. It was like playing a fictional character to some extent. Now, we did meet the family and spend time around there, so that gave it kind of a greater sense of importance, but it was still never a pressure or a responsibility I ever felt burdened by. In many ways, it was more empowering or something, you know? You're thinking, you can't really go wrong. It's not like people can disbelieve it, because it's a real guy. He really existed. It was a real pleasure to play, you know, and you kind of felt, well, this is a really good story that people should hear about.
When we sat down with Jimmy's family, who were still there, I suppose my slight concern was that they wouldn't like the idea of her character or the dangerous nature of the relationship. So I asked Paul, one of his relations, do you think that maybe there may have been a woman like Una or a woman that he may have been interested in? And he said, oh, absolutely, it's completely likely that there would have been somebody that he would have had his eye on and that would have had their eye on him. So then I felt like, it was the blessing that I needed to do it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the relationship between Jimmy and Una? I mean, this is like an unrequited love story which picks up when he returns to Ireland from America.
It would have been easier for her when Jimmy returned to not engage again and to, you know, because she was wounded. I mean, they were both hurt. But to kind of go, well, no, this is still a good thing despite my own personal pain or whatever. Yeah. You know, this whole the hall is a good thing.
The only thing in the script is because obviously he does ask her to go with him the first time, but she just can't. She asks him why he stopped writing, and he says, "Well, you know why." And it's left at that because he obviously wanted her to move on. I used to make fun of him on set all the time, going, "Why did you stop writing?" But it's like they had to let each other go. They didn't have a choice, and so that's why I feel like she hasn't hung on to any bitterness really, because it's an understanding. Look, and back then you go to America, usually you don't come back.
They used to call it an American wake. If someone was going abroad to America, they had a wake, which you have after death.
I wanted to just go back to the casting just for a second, because I believe the mother was found in an open casting call by Ken, just purely by chance, really, that he came across that. And I thought she had such beautiful presence. She didn't have to say very much. Yeah. It was kind of all in the eyes. And given that she's a non-actress, I thought it was incredible. What was it like working alongside her? Because, of course, Barry, you worked very closely with her.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. We had a great time. I spent a lot of time reassuring her, because she was quite nervous, having had no experience. Which, I mean, she's a very, very sweet woman. And she was just really concerned that she didn't want to let people down. So she had this thing. And because I have experience, I had to kind of try and put her at ease, you know. She was a very, very strong woman and a fiery presence in her own time. She was a union leader in her youth. So they found her well.
Really. Yeah. She's got a really cheeky sense of humour too. And she's a very strong woman. And I think that Ken connected with her in that way and could see that she had a spirit about her, you know.
Definitely. I mean, the bit that it made me laugh, because you could see she was slightly mischievous as well. The fact that when Jimmy's trying to escape out of the out of the top floor, and she just locks it. Yeah, she locks it. I really love that scene. Do you guys have a favourite scene at all?
Every scene I'm in.
Apart from every scene you're in.
I think there was a couple of scenes that were so much fun to film, and they were usually the big group scenes where we're all dancing. They were just the best days. The first one was when he was teaching the Shim Sham, and then we got to know all those young guys really, really well that day. That was a really good day. And then when we all did the jazz dancing and the Irish dancing together, that was just a wonderful day. It was a real community spirit.
It was so much fun. The first dancing when I put on that first record, that was really fun to do. Yeah. It was because it was also petrifying having to dance in front of 30 people when I'm not a very good dancer. And I've been working so hard on it for so long, and this was the moment that I had to show everyone for real, you know. So that was quite daunting. But when you get through it, then there's a great sense of achievement. All of the brilliant speeches Paul wrote, they were such a joy to perform as well.
The storyline between the two characters as well, I mean, he wrote some really beautiful things, really, really delicate little love scenes that were very simple and not overdone and really, really easy to sort of get involved in and emotional about,
What I loved, and the relationship for me between you two, the poignant moments for me, one is the dance in the hall, just by yourselves in the moonlight, and she puts on the gift that Jimmy has given her. I really loved that scene. That kind of touched me. Maybe I'm just a romantic at heart. But
the scene with the dance, you know, we had been learning how to waltz together for months beforehand and didn't know what it was for. We didn't know what the scene was for. We didn't know why we were learning to waltz. And our choreographer was saying, maybe a bit of foxtrot, maybe a bit of waltz, because she wasn't even quite sure what. So, you know, there was a lot of rehearsal that went into that. And I think the reason we weren't being given too much information was because it shouldn't look too choreographed. It shouldn't look like suddenly they go into this musical, like that it's...
We haven't danced together for 10 years or so,
that
you know.
It's sort of, they're making it up and they're kind of a little bit clunky and
then
it feels... But we filmed that, like, it was very quiet. It was a very closed set. Everybody was sort of outside, really. It was only the core group inside. Yeah. And we just danced and danced for hours, actually.
Jimmy comes back from Ireland and he brings new music and dances with him. What was it like learning to dance for the role?
I think our first rehearsals involved us two meeting up and dancing. We both live in London, so we were attending private lessons during the day. And then at night, because I was so shit, I was running off doing my own little extra homework. So I was going to all these dance nights all around London, which was amazing.
I don't know if you were aware of this, at the press screening and the end credits where the music kicks out, there was a massive group of people, including myself, all clapping along to the music, which is obviously a massive integral part to the story, and I'm really glad that translated across.
It's funny because last night at the premiere that happened as well, everyone started clapping, and it was a good slow clap, you know, a slow clap you want in Cannes, and then it stopped and there was like sad music for about 1 minute and everyone stopped, and then happy music kicked in again and everybody started, and I said to my husband, wow, they really want some happy music.
I think it's, you're saying how you experienced it in the cinema in Cannes in 2000 and whatever year it is now, and you guys were buzzing, and you feel it. Can you imagine when this guy came back in 1932 to people who had heard very, very little music, and the music they did hear would have been restricted to probably Irish traditional music? This guy comes back in a nice suit with vinyl. I mean, what the hell is that? And here, check this tune out. It's like, that'll blow your mind.
In real life, when Jimmy Gralton did bring the records home, musicians cycled for miles and miles and miles from other counties just to come to his hall and listen to those records and learn it.
Absolutely. And was there ever scope for improvisation or any kind of slight changes to the script?
There was one scene where I wasn't in the scene. It was the church scene. And I asked, why isn't Una at church? And Ken was, well, you know, she's a free thinker, we were thinking. And I said, no, she has a son and a daughter who are being taught by priests and by nuns. For their sake, she has to bring them to church. And Ken said, I'll go and talk to Shakespeare. And he talks to Paul, and he came back and he said, yes, we are calling the family back in tomorrow. And it was great for me, because it wasn't that I wanted to do another day's work. You know, I had a day off and I sacrificed it. But it was just... they were open to what I felt very strongly about, like, this woman would be in church, not for her own sake, but for the two kids. And so that was great to feel like they absolutely
very open,
were open to changing things around. You know?
I think that's all we've got time for. Thank you very much,
you.
Barry.
Good to meet you. Thank you.
Good to meet you. Thank you very much. Simone Kirby.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I've just been speaking to the two actors, Simone Kirby and Barry Ward, who are in Ken Loach's Jimmy's Hall, which is in the main competition in Cannes. I'm Amani Mohammed, and you've been listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.